Welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show portion of the ITG Super Stream. And we are all getting back to our seats here as quickly as possible. And there's Matt. Matt's back. All right. We're all here now.
The I had to sprint, on. Man. That's a 2 hour. That's 2 hours.
I know, man. I know. And the breaks are not nearly as long as they were like last season either. So we're here. I mean, like you essentially have 2 minutes and maybe 3 minutes tops in between, but that's all right. I have videos I can play. We got all kinds of stuff. We don't have to jump, you know, we don't have to show up with nobody on screen. But anyway, I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax. He is JC Sherbert as always. And Matt Anderson, the king of late night, the late night Gamecock himself, is here for a Friday afternoon. Ah, good to see you, boys.
What up? Good to see you all today. Yeah, lots of football talking. That's fine. I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. It's the end of July. August, the calendar shall turn to August.
Yes.
Tomorrow.
Well, you know, we're less than 100 days from college basketball as well. So that these dog days of summers will be gone before you know it. Things will heat up. You'll have football, basketball, baseball will be here before you know it, too. These things tend to, especially in my older age, sneak up on me.
Right. It's not been as long of an off season as it was. I said this on coffee the other day, I think. It's not been as long of an off season as last year, and I think it's because – they had a bad season last season, and that's good because anytime you have a bad season, you know, you kind of just want to do over as quickly as possible. Last year, I think we all thought they would be at least relatively good. Mm-hmm. And so everybody's just fired up and looking forward to like the, with the way, not the bowl game, obviously, but which was an ominous sign of things to come. But with the way the season ended, those six games, man, that's the best stretch Carolina football had in so long. So, I mean, Will Muschamp won 9 games his second year here. That season, Carolina beat some teams that were not as good as they were supposed to be. Carolina had a nice start when Deebo Samuels couldn't be stopped. You know, and then they came back and won the Outback Bowl, which was great. High note, 9-4, super. That wasn't the same as beating a bunch of ranked teams in a row, topping it off with a win against Clemson and that kind of thing. Right. I mean, and Sellers was playing at such a high heroic level. It was fun to watch. It was fun to watch from the Oklahoma game to the Clemson game. It was fun to watch, dude.
Yep.
And I didn't go into a single game since after they beat Oklahoma. I think they had an open week and then played A&M. Yeah, you're a little always nervous when you play A&M, and they were undefeated in the SEC coming in. But I wasn't really all that nervous about that game, dude. And then more nervous about Vandy than any game during that stretch.
I mean, for me, like it was such a tough stretch because to your point, JC, like you just felt like you knew the ending before. The ending, right? Like you were just going through the motions watching the Gamecocks. And then you had that magical run to end the season. You get excited. The last offseason was very, very long. And then you come into last year and nobody expected the wheels to fall off in the manner that they did. And you know, now I'm enjoying watching all this college football that's popping up on ESPNU and you see all these takeover days and I'm just excited for football. I don't care what kind of football it is at this point. Just give me football. I'll watch the NFL Hall of Fame game Thursday night, and I'll be glued to it. I want to see helmets hitting. I want to see touchdowns. I want to see interceptions. This has been hard. And it's been hard for all of Gamecock sports. That's what makes everything rough. When everything is bad.
Magnified, yeah.
So many people just only like have this small amount of time in their day to have – pure happiness and joy doing your own thing. And you haven't had it for a long time being a Gamecock. It's hard.
Yeah. So I don't know. You know, I don't know. Some questions in the McKellar Enterprises chat box, and then we'll get to what I wrote down in my notebook. And Phil apparently has a surprise today, so we're all waiting with bated breath about that.
That's right.
TD Noel mentions Tristan Lewis. Don't forget about him. Yeah, I think we're talking about safeties and nickels. He's a corner, so he's going to be in that corner mix. And my understanding is the young defensive backs, all three of them, Currents at safety, and then Lewis and Barnes at corner, are looking good. TD says he reminds him of the Nick Emanuore talk on a freshman. Yeah, it's good. You know, the talk on him has not reached Matt Fuller status, but I've got something written now because Stan Drayton threw some cold water on that.
Yeah.
Birdies with Beamer, if you noticed. Wes Mitchell has an exclusive interview with him. He threw some cold water on it. So, those members of the Jawaan Howell fan club, let's just say there's light at the end of the tunnel for all of us.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, according to that article. Blake chimes in. Good to see you, Blake. I don't see how Gerald Kilgore stays off the field, including tracking Quay Scott. JC, does Gerald have the stuff to slide in that CB3 spot? No, he's a safety and nickel all the way. He doesn't have the, I don't think, has the hips to be a corner every down. As JB mentioned, DeMarcus Leach is the third corner, and he's taken a step forward as well. Gerald, though, I think his brother's old position, nickel, he's tailor-made for that. Mm-hmm. He's good against the run. Obviously, he's shown the ability to make plays on the ball. Quasheed Scott was recruited to be the nickel, and I still think he could win it, but it's a war. It is a war. And Jamie mentioned Jaquel Hallman from Blackville Hilda High School, small town South Carolina kid, got his feet wet last year, was kind of the second kickoff returner on special teams, guys. He ended up returning like four or five kickoffs last year. So Jaquel is in the mix too. So that spot has more depth than it normally does. I mean, sometimes your backup nickel, you're like, oh, who? Last year is basically Brandon Cisse.
Right.
You slid Brandon down or whatever. Blake goes on, says, insert Maurice Brown lead blocking with a bubble screen. I think you may see something like that, dude. Seriously. Possibly. I mean, that's.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
There's going to be a lot more interesting plays this year. Just trust me. Blake's worried about Jalewis Solomon. It's taken way too long, and him being behind Norwood last year tells me a lot. I hope he gets it together, though. I don't know if he's taken way too long. He was a true freshman, and let's see, when was he? Class of 24? Yeah, he's class of 24, so he was a true freshman in 24 and then was a redshirt freshman last year. So if he plays this year, you know, third year, I'll say this. I don't know why maybe he wasn't ahead of him, but Miles Norwood, if you noticed, yes, Miles Norwood played, but he played less and less as the year went on. Once you get beat that much, it just wasn't Jalewis. Lance said Solomon's going to flash soon. I hope so. With him, guys, it just wasn't healthy in the spring. And if he gets healthy, there's talent there. Like I said, they see him a lot more than we do. So, and I think the only like public comment, maybe it was either Clayton White or Torian Gray one, was just that he just needs to keep coming on. He's going to be good in time. So I hope so. They were really high on him coming out of high school.
So. Well, and Solomon's only played 60 snaps in his career. So like, it's just hard to write off a kid that has his natural ability. Sometimes the light clicks, right? We've talked about that.
It's a developmental sport. Yeah. I mean, sometimes you got to wait on a guy, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I don't think it's been too, I wouldn't say it's been too long, Blake. It seems like he's been here longer than he has, you know? So, Blake went to Missouri last year and it was a dump because of the construction. Yeah. It's going to be a PITA. Cockweed said Vandy's end zone additions look like VCRs. They do. Interesting. Lance is high on Caleb Herring and says he'll deal with the construction. I'm happy of what's coming to Willie B. It's going to be awesome. This is just the first phase. Yeah, it's going to be really nice. Game Hat 346 is ready for the heat to go. I hate to kind of rub it in, but it's overcast and about 76 today.
Thank you.
I like it. Earlier in the week, but yeah, it's gone now. Yeah, it's gone now.
Yeah. Blake, don't want to be reminded about basketball. Jay Frew is in. Happy Friday, Jay Frew.
Amen.
Quantrell says, I think the defense will be good enough. to where this will be the last year Clayton White is here in a good way. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that my theory, and this is not, I haven't heard anything about it. It's just like logic. I think when they finally get sick of my guy Dave Dorn at NC State, Clayton White hopefully is good enough to where they're like, that's our guy, and we're going to go get it. He played there, he's from there. That's a good.
You just kind of need to keep pulling for them to go 8-4, 7-5.
People always talk about how NC State does have, and NC State does have some things about that program that are attractive. It's a little bit more of a football school than North Carolina and the other Tobacco Roads, obviously. It's similar culturally to East Carolina. In Raleigh, you know, they large alumni base. I mean, I don't know, they've been good at times. I don't know.
Well, I think that, you know, for all like the hemming and hawing that, you know, we do about salaries for coaches, NIL, all of that, like one of the good things is I think in this day and age, you're going to see less and less qualified coordinators just go take a job at, you know, XYZ lower level school because they want to be a head coach. Like the money is too good to turn down, like staying where you're at unless you go for the right opportunity. And then back in the day, you didn't make as much money as you make right now. So like, okay, I'm going to make $100,000 less, but I'm going to start my head coaching career. Now it's like, I'm making more money than that head coach. Why would I leave to go potentially never be a coordinator again?
I think this dude, it used to be like the coach would like facilitate, like you'd hit, if you were a MAC school or whatever, you'd hit on a good coach. Like when Bowling Green got Urban Meyer, you know, Bowling Green historically is not Toledo or Miami of Ohio in that league. Miami of Ohio was like a cradle of coaches.
Yeah.
Now though, with the way you get rated every year with your roster, taking a job like that, even if you're really good, just because of resources, you could be going to battle with one hand tied behind your back every year. And there's only a handful of those jobs that I think, like Memphis, I think could sustain. Tulane, I think, will continue to sustain. Maybe. I don't know. They didn't make a hire that blew me away. I think Louisiana Lafayette's a program that can stand on its own. You know, there's some things about Southern Miss that I think could help. There's some things that are not good. Any of those schools in Texas, you can get by. But, you know, the days of just saying, this is my, I'm just going to take this, you know, mediocre 1AA and work my way up. It's easier if you just stay at a place where the wins and losses aren't on your record.
Yeah.
And you put up numbers and have a good unit every year and get ready and then go Power 4 to Power 4.
Or if you take a job, you're not going to Tulane. You're going North Dakota State or South Dakota State if they have an opening.
Yeah, where go to FCS. Yeah. Go to
and
FCS.
And then you bounce back out big ways.
And I'll say this too, Matt, to your point of the money definitely is. I mean, Kendall Briles makes $2.3 million a year.
With a three-year guarantee contract.
Shane Beamer was hired here for $2.75. Just 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So, and Clayton White's been at $2 million for a little bit of time. So, you know, the other schools can't, you know, they pay about $900,000, you know, so you're going to take a 50% pay cut to go take Louisiana Monroe.
Or Coastal.
Coastal. Yeah, Coastal. But see, Chance did a good thing. He hired, well, that guy was technically an FCS coach, but Missouri State's now in Group of Five. They're Conference USA, but still see USA's kind of the bottom. So Coastal's a step up, right, for that guy.
Well, that's what I'm saying with you know, they chased Clayton a bit. And yeah. Clayton turned it down because of everything you just talked about.
Yeah, it's just, you just can't, you know, and then, you know, you think you're a good enough coach to go in a place like wherever that has a chance. If you know what you're doing recruiting and coaching wise, you can out coach people and then you win enough and you get back to the Power Four. But honestly, you know, there's no forgiveness. The ADs aren't sitting around going, yeah, this guy went 5-17 at, you know, at Texas State, or that wouldn't be a good one, or went 5-17 at San Jose State, right? But he's good, so we know what he can do. Let's take him. No, because your alums and everybody else are going to flip out. guy with a 5-17 record. So coaches staying put, that's smart. That's smart, you know. I think Billy Napier made a smart decision going to James Madison. That's a good job.
A really good job.
Pretty much wins there, but, you know, we'll see sort of what happens. Sean Quantrell says, if Mississippi State tanks this year, which job would you take, NC State or Mississippi State if you're Clayton White? Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Maybe. It would depend
on – you don't want to be in the ACC, who knows what the heck's going to happen era.
And Mississippi State will have more money than NC State. But
exactly.
Honestly, though, Mississippi State, their thing is them and Arkansas don't necessarily spend on football. Like, they spread the love a little bit more at those two schools. Obviously, Mississippi State with baseball definitely does. And Arkansas funds basketball and Calipari at a high level. The Arkansas AD was talking about their NIL pool for football is not as large. You know, and look, the team that has the most money doesn't always win. I mean, we'll be honest about that. But, you know, you get a situation where you're losing, like Arkansas loses 30 guys a year they have for a long time, 30 guys a year off the roster every year.
Yep.
And not guys that can't play there, guys that go elsewhere and play. I mean, I think Ole Miss took two of Arkansas's, Sam Pittman's offensive line starters last year. Just, okay, come on, guys. And it used to be like Arkansas and Ole Miss would get into a recruiting wars when Nutt was at Arkansas and Cliff or whoever was at Ole Miss. And you know, you track those battles, man. Arkansas, no kid would pick Ole Miss over Arkansas unless they were from Mississippi or Western Tennessee and want to stay close to home. Arkansas was just so much better. I mean, Arkansas was winning division titles and stuff. So things have changed there. But, yeah. All right, Phil, let's get to the break.
Yeah. Head on in here.
Harrison says North Dakota State made a mistake going to Group of Five. I agree. These schools that win national championships at FCS and then just go chase the money in Group of Five are idiots. Like Georgia Southern, App State, those teams used to hoist the trophy at the end of the year.
Luke Combs, like I think he came out and said, like, I'm not giving any money to NIL because we're doing stupid things. Like, yeah. Stay at this level, win championships.
Exactly. I agree with Luke on that completely. I never thought about it. Like, what are you chasing? The chance to get your brains beat in by Oregon in the first round?
Oh, right. Great. Yeah.
Ooh. Or the Camellia Bowl. Oh, Camellia Bowl.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Economy Plus, you say.
Right.
Get on out to D's Wings this weekend and also go see our friends at Gamecock Traditions. Thanks to the West Law Firm, Resto Pro, all of our wonderful, wonderful sponsors here on ITG. Don't forget the BigSpur.com, rocking and rolling. Matt's got a great article up this morning. Wes Mitchell, Gamecock Central, has that interview with Stan Drayton. And yeah, we'll keep rocking and wrap up what's been a fantastic week after this.
Watching this tape right now, I think you already have a couple reasons why you should date me. Hi, I'm Sherry DeNovo. I'd like to find a nice man, and it's come to this. You should date me if you want to have fun, lean into luxury, discover new tastes, go out for Chinese. The key to a good relationship is a Corvette key. I'm a people person. I love people. I love getting to know people. I don't get along great with women, but I love guys, and guys love me. But my ideal man is not a junkie. You've got wheels. Well, all my pleasures are guilty pleasures, except puzzles. I love puzzles. I don't know if I have any talents per se that are hidden. I kind of keep them all out there. I am fun and easy and breezy. I'm the life of the party, so if you invite me, watch out. I'd like my next relationship to last to the grave. I want to die with someone. If you're watching this tape right now, I think you already...
Dear sweet Lord. Oh,
that was a good one. I found it this morning. I was like, oh, okay.
All right. So what's wrong with, well, first of all, what's wrong with her face?
I have a couple reasons why you should date me.
Look at that. Look at her mouth. She's got a little 1940s actress vibe voice going right on, like, hi, you know, hi, how you doing, big fella? You know,
a little Catherine Hepburn in there, yeah, you know, little,
that dramatic stuff there, but the words coming out of her mouth do not match that. She likes puzzles. I wrote puzzles down.
I can tell you the whole, like, I want to find a man to die together with. Like, that seems like a murder suicide that I don't think I want to sign up for.
I think it'd just be like, you know, because she was like, I'm looking for a man and it's come to this. Aha, I want to die with someone. And I'm like, getting in that relationship with that woman would be death.
I think so.
You may as well just put me out to pasture.
You're going to have to put up with her having male friends.
On top of everything else. Yeah, right. I'm going to have a Bobby tonight.
Huh? Yeah.
You know, and you're like, oh my God. And then the laugh, X-Men says it's the stuff of nightmares. Cause it's not like Ronnie, Ronnie's probably the most famous VHS dates.
Oh yeah. Gotta be.
Lady. She's the only one to have a sequel. Right. She had part one and part two. And she was like, it was annoying, but it wasn't like this. This was just
explosive,
like
explosive, right? Yeah,
that it's just explosive. Yeah. This is more of a, like, not even like a real laugh, just a nervous energy, uncomfortable. The hair looks terrible.
When she leans up and the light hits it too, and like her entire head just lit up. That was weird. Like, that would be odd in a restaurant. It's
similar to she's got a dude face almost.
So I was looking very hard to see if this was, you know,
you're doing your deep dive. The first thing I looked at was the Adam's apple.
That's right. Yeah. Check the neck. We all learned that from Martin.
I actually learned that from Tu Wong Fu. Thanks for everything, Julie Newmar.
Right.
I got drugged to that movie when I was in high school.
I took my son to Toy Story 5 yesterday, and there was actually a preview that said, if you suspect underage drinking in the movie theater, please report it immediately.
Wait, what?
Yes. Kids are going and bringing in scotch and getting just hammered in the
right.
I guess you gotta hide it somehow. We all
see that when we were a mini bottle state a lot sooner than I could, you know. What?
How do you? I mean, I guess it's not hard to check it in because if you put it in your purse, there's no, or in your man purse.
Well, I mean, the theater we went to yesterday had a little kiosk. Like, I mean, it just had a little warning for R-rated movies. Like, you must be 18. Would you still like to purchase? Yes.
Dude, back then, you felt so bad for, like, the kid. Because people that work at movie theater, they don't make much money. When I was in high school, some friends of mine worked at the movie theater. And they loved the job because they got free movie tickets. And made $4.50 an hour.
Yeah, right, right.
You know, you weren't going to get rich doing that. So you have some high school kid that just loves movies there, you know, poor dude or dudette, trying to enforce those laws. Like, they're law enforcement, right? Trying to let you in. And I always thought I would love that job because I love movies, but I would hate the enforcement part. Like, how are you going to, I mean, and it's like 16. And so you're like, how are you going to say this 14-year-old's not 16 or 16? I mean, you know, you got to get all up in people's business. So I like the kiosk better.
You ever been a 16-year-old trying to tell another 16-year-old not to do something? Who are you?
Oh, they're going to do it, dude, immediately. Yeah, you may as well tell them, too.
I'll tell you one thing that stuck out to me about that video, and it was an Instagram thing I saw the other day. She talked about Chinese food, right? And this guy said...
This girl, the VHS dates lady, wants to go out for Chinese food, Mike.
Yeah, that's right.
Matt.
Yeah, this person said, you know, I told my wife, like, why don't we get Chinese tonight? And she was like, well, we just had Chinese 2 days ago. And he was like, yeah, but the people in China eat it every day. What's wrong with that if we like it?
That's a good point. I used to love Chinese food. And 20 years ago when I worked in Gainesville, Georgia, at the newspaper, we were in charge of the health inspections. Oh, we'd run those in the paper. Yeah. And so there's a place called the Hong Kong Buffet. Simple enough. I think that wasn't the Hong Kong Buffet in Five Points, too, at one point. Anyway,
there was a Millennium Buffet, but I think it might still be there by the baseball
stadium. Yeah, that's over there. So I read the health inspection. So in Georgia, it's a numerical grading, not a A, B, C, D, which means you need to be a little bit more on your P's and Q's, because there's people know there's a difference between a 91 and a 99, because you're like, well, how did they get 91? Yeah, what's the right. eight?
What's
how does it affect points? My meal? Right. This was a 59.
Ooh, oh, my.
The first paragraph, thick mold.
Oh, God.
Growth on 60% of the ice maker.
Jeez.
But I will say, though, man, like, if you like, so I had a past job and it was bearings, gearboxes, transmissions, all that. So, like, I had in South Florida, I had some ice manufacturers, right? Like Ready Ice. And I'm just telling you, if you go into that factory, like where the ice is stored, you would be disgusted. But
I would imagine, you know,
you can't keep it dry. Like, what can you do? Like, you have to just test it. I know the Ready Ice is good, because I trust the people I worked with, but at the same time, mold in a Chinese restaurant?
No. In the ice maker, it went downhill from there. There were no animals in there or anything, but it was like 3 pounds of chicken 3 weeks past the expiration date.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I was going to eat chicken today. Now I'm not.
It's like, yeah. I literally was like, I can't eat at the Chinese buffet anymore. 2 weeks later, we hired this new guy named Robert Alfonso from New York City, right? And he didn't know anything in town. So I called him up because there was a little bit of news I needed him to go chase. I was like, Robert, what are you doing? He's like, I'm just grabbing a bite to eat here, JC, at the Hong Kong buffet.
Get out.
And I went, oh my God. And I just asked him, I was like, hey, did you get a drink with that? And he's like, oh yeah, man, I got some ice water. And the fact he was drinking ice water made me more sick than the pile of whatever he would have been putting on his plate.
Yeah,
here's right. my other problem with the Chinese buffet. As you know, my wife is Thai, and my mother-in-law is real Thai, like Thai, like came over. She's been here. She's 80. She's been here 40 years. So she's poured 40 years of her life in northern Thailand in Chiang Mai, which has some Chinese food influence. Loves the Chinese buffet, loves Chinatown, loves to eat that all the time. Thai food's a little different than Chinese food. In fact, we gotta eat a Thai meal tomorrow at the temple. But I get drugged to this like constantly. It's good for my diet, right? It's good for my diet. Luckily for me, it's like, you know, she likes the higher end Chinese places.
Yeah, right.
But she does like the buffet, and she'll go with her friends. Like, they rolled three deep 80-year-olds from the temple, went way up in the northern. I mean, we live in the southwest suburbs, way up in the northern suburbs of Chicago, to eat at this one buffet because I heard it was good. She likes a deal. But so I have some, you know, I have some challenges with my strict no Chinese buffet. Policy I've had for 22 years now with my family that I've had for the last seven. So anyway, X-Man says he worked for a linen company and serviced the back of restaurants. That job will ruin your favorite places to eat. Yeah. And Harrison says the Millennium Buffet by Founders Park is no longer the Millennium Buffet. It closed down right before this past baseball season. I read about that. So John Edward has a pick. 8-4 till proven otherwise. Well, I think a lot of people would think 8-4 is a good season.
Yeah, I think you'd probably take that, right? I mean, yeah.
You know,
we've had people say that was the ceiling. So
yeah. So I don't know. Craiger ate legit Thai food last night. What'd you have, man? That's good. My mother-in-law cooks that stuff at home, and it's actually pretty good. I just can't eat it every day.
I love Thai food. And like, it's usually spicy. I like very spicy food. Yeah.
Yeah. John Edwards says you're not going to learn anything about the new offense against Kent State and Towson. You're going to learn some things.
Yeah.
You're not going to learn if they can, what the outcome is going to be against SEC level defenses, but that's common sense. You can learn, some things they like to do, and how fast they're going to go, and some of the style of plays. And I learn a lot I mean, I don't know. I'm sure some people will crap all over it. You know, right. Matt, you've muted yourself, man. Matt, unmute Matt.
There we go. So no, I was like, Craig pulled a me. Can't pronounce it when you asked what Thai food he got. Like, I love going to restaurants and being like, I'm so uncultured. I'm just going to point at the menu item. That's what
I was going to say. You'd have trouble at any restaurant.
I'd like the flit mignon.
How about those people though that like they'll go order Thai, because the Thai language, it's like, so if you, it's not what you say, sometimes how you say it. And it's crazy because it's the difference between I love you and I want to murder you.
Right. Yeah. It's like, all you'll say. It's so important. Right. Yeah.
You can say ma and that's dog, but then you say ma and that's a bad word. Mm-hmm. And it's not the B word either. So there's no similarities there. But these people that roll in with trying to impress people with like trying to make the correct inflection, they usually get it wrong. They're just using an accent.
Right. Right.
So they're like, yeah, it was like, hello, I would like the mi song.
Lordy.
And I'm like, you just told that waitress to go F themselves. So
she doesn't deserve that from you.
Who are you to say that?
That's right. Some guy comes out of the kitchen with a cleaver, yelling at you in a language you can't understand.
I used to not eat at all, though, ever, and now I've gotten into it a little bit. My kids like sushi, and I used to not be a sushi guy at all because I'm funny about fish and seafood and stuff, but I'll go eat me some. Everybody every month we'll go to the all you can eat sushi place. And the kids eat much more of it, but I've gotten used to it, so it's pretty good. I like sushi. Yeah, get
the wasabi on it.
Yeah, oh yeah, I like the wasabi very. But anyway, we need to stop with the food. I mean, this is
got a little bit of time. It's
football season, guys. So I'm sorry, but you bring your VHS dates to the party like Phil did, and yeah. I go off topic.
I know, I had to. It's Friday, man. Right.
It's Friday.
Finally, it's Friday.
Finally, Friday. Stan Drayton. So he did pour some cold water to Wes Mitchell. I'll let you go subscribe and read the article for the details. But essentially, he said we're looking for an alpha in the room, and it was like. It read like, I haven't seen the video of it, but it read pretty militant, like he just read the riot act to these guys. Now I think it's one of two things. Number one, maybe they started feeling like the hype on the running back room was getting a little out of control.
Right. If somebody needed
and that's not our fault though, dude. I've said that from the beginning. That's Shane Beamer's fault.
Yes.
You know, about that, you know, he thought that he's going to be one of the best to ever play here. Okay, great. Everybody's thinking Marcus Lattimore, George Rogers, Brandon Bennett, Harold Green, Deuce Staley type of guy. We got the best they ever plays. All our minds automatically go there. Right. Even heck, you'd take a healthy Rico Dowdle at this point. Right. Mm-hmm. Or Brandon Wilds, who we talked about earlier. I'd take that in a heartbeat. But, you know, so that's their fault, you know. And so then at Birdies of Beamer yesterday, it dramatically changed. Even Kendall Briles said, well, we just know we need somebody to step up in that room, and they know what to do. I think there's a challenge there because I think that what they're trying to do is maximize everybody and get everybody really good. And then if there's separation, then you know, that's your guy. Mm-hmm. One thing he did say, though, that I'll share with you from the article, because there's a lot of different things in it that's behind a paywall, but was that Juwan Howell had been the most consistently good this whole summer.
That's right.
So any thoughts about that?
Well, I'll just give a couple of thoughts here. I don't expect anything to come out of the coach's mouth right now to be overly positive in any one player's direction. They are starting camp on, Thursday or Friday of this upcoming week. You can't go out and sit there and say, hey, well, you know, Matt Fuller's got this locked down. I mean, nobody's earned anything yet with this offensive staff, and they have to keep that mantra going. I wouldn't take anything negative towards anything that was said personally, I think that it's more of like, hey, we're about to start going to war, and it starts in, you know, just a handful of weeks, and we need everybody on their P's and Q's. And this is a good opportunity for birdies with Beamer to get some of that stuff out in the press where these kids will see it and they will read it. And that's just my thoughts on the matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, and it could be like, this is the position group where they're speaking to remind everybody on the roster, hey, none of you are owed anything. Spring superstars do not win football games in the fall. and because you're right, Matt, everything we hear from here on out, it's not going to be very positive. And I think everything we hear from here on out is not necessarily for us. It's for everybody inside the building. It's that time of year.
Yeah. TD Noll gives me some, I think, praise. Imagine JC gets it right about a running back prospect again. He's my favorite back on the roster. I feel like he needs to play more.
So
electric. I've always liked him, dude. I mean, Jorn Howell. I mean, he reminded me of Derek Watson right down to the point where we were at War 22. I'll say this. When I was evaluating players for a living, I wasn't. Running back was not. I mean, dude, God had some bad ones. Enrique Davis. It's a five-star guy. He went to Auburn. Yeah. You've never heard of him, right? Number one back in the country. So I don't know. Quantrell says, I've just found out Maxwell Hiller's dad went to Coastal Carolina, and Hiller's little brother, Colton, is the number two basketball player in the class of 2020.
Colton's a dude. He is a dude.
Yeah, they're probably going to Florida, where his brother is.
There's a lot of stuff about him maybe like reclassifying, going up a year. I don't know if that's going to happen, but. Yeah. We know Florida will pay money for him. I mean, they've proven that, so we'll see.
They pay money for to retain, though. I mean, a bunch. So mm-hmm. Who knows?
They're going to have to pay a lot of money to get new after this year, because if they win a national championship, there ain't no going back, and a lot of those guys are moving on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. Blake said, listening on Horse, couldn't respond. Appreciate the commentary on Solomon. I just liked him a lot as a recruit. I feel like most guys with similar paths we're on the field at this point. I'll give you two examples. And you're right, most. That's a key word there, Blake, most. Darius Rush, Jalen Foster, and Cam Smith, man. Cam Smith did not start playing until the end of 2020 when everybody was hurt. That was his second year. And then third was better, and then fourth was really good. So –
even O'Donnell Fortune.
Yeah, O'Donnell, let's see. Well, 20. But see, we in 2022 though, we saw the 100-yard pick six.
Yeah.
Everybody that carried O'Donnell Fortune through the next year, and then we heard from him again in 24. Mm-hmm. But TD says Howell can be a dude. I agree. I mean, he's 220 something pounds and like great feet.
Can we go back to Blake listening on a horse? I need more details there, Blake.
What are you doing right now? He's a park ranger. I don't know. He's not.
I love that.
Park ranger.
Listen on a horse. We get him from all over the place, I swear.
That's true.
I love that. Yeah.
I hope everybody's doing good in the park today, Blake.
Oh, boo-boo. There's that park ranger. Got to go steal another picnic basket. Okay, Yogi. You ever notice how, like, Yogi Bear had, like, a great voice? You know, it's pleasant. Like, yeah, no, boo-boo. I don't know about that. But then, like, Yogi. Like, boo-boo.
It was annoying.
Yeah, Yogi. He was like Cayuse or Caillou.
Caillou. I hate Caillou
with a passion. Awful. About 10 years ago, I discovered that demented Charlie Brown thing. And I was like,
I wouldn't let my girls watch it.
It teaches you to be sassy and a prick. Like we all learn about lessons from cartoons. Don't ever let Graham watch Caillou ever.
That's right.
Well, just we're going to start him with South Park, honestly.
That's better than at least South Park, like. Yeah, Cartman's an example of who not to be.
But, right. Yeah, it's the
Stan and Kyle are decent, and you know, Kenny's just a poor kid, and then you know, Butters is that naive dumb kid. You know, so Cartman's imagine though a show about Cartman, but there's no adult humor, and it's just about like just whining all the time.
No, thank you.
And you're a boy. A boy.
That's sick. That already.
I hate that thing. I'd like to punch whoever came up with it in the nose.
Yeah, Bluey, X-Man's right. Bluey's great. I watch
Bluey. Everybody likes Bluey. Yeah.
Bluey's all right. Yeah, Bluey's all right.
I'm good with that. So TD Null says, y'all have a good weekend. See y'all Monday. Yes, sir. TD.
Yeah, man.
You're the man. You're the man. But yeah, I think that a Caillou thing was just written. But Yogi Psychic Boo Boo, you
sound like doo, man. Like Scrap, I hate it.
Terrible. It's got a Ruby Dooby Doo.
Yeah.
I don't know. So anyway, that's what Stan Drayton said. Kendall Browse has watched no film of Lenore Sellers last year. I find that fascinating in a way. I think it's right.
I think it's
absolutely right. Just flush it, man. Flush everything about it.
Yeah. Here's the offense. Let me see what you can do in it. I believe in you. Go ahead. Here. Wow, that looks good. Let's put that on tape.
Yeah, dude. Just forget about last year. Just move on. I've watched no tape on last year. He said that again. Watch no tape.
I can't watch the tape either. I tried to watch the Alabama game the other day. I couldn't get through it.
That was one of those games, Matt, where it was like there was some good. The defense, number one, in that one. I thought Alabama's passing offense is probably going to lay one on Carolina. Didn't happen. And Clayton White had one of his best days until the last drive of the game. As a defensive play caller, I've seen because he gambled a little bit and it paid off. The double corner blitz, that is a gamble. But what was great about it is the guys got home first and foremost and forced a turnover. But if you watch the film, the way it was drawn up, and I don't know off screen if somebody was open or not, but the guy Ty Simpson was looking for on the crossing pattern, there was coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, even if he'd gotten it off, there was a safety back there. I thought that was just great. I mean, and then the D tackles played their best game.
The run defense is off the charts. I mean,
Sean Murphy came into his own in that game against his former team.
There's a whole revenge game narrative there, JC. Well, that's a big thing in NFL fantasy football, the revenge game narrative. Who didn't want you? Who traded you? And that's why NFL coordinators are so good, because they will scheme up offensive players to get touchdowns against their former teams. Just bank on it. It'll happen because it's like an F you. I'm better than you because you couldn't figure this guy out, but I did.
Right, let's throw it to this guy. But no, it was that was very – at that point, you know, man, I remember sitting there. I wouldn't have been down like the students were about to storm it, but there was nothing in my mind that thought South Carolina was going to lose that game 29-22.
Right.
Once they went up eight, I'm like, dude, they're up eight. I mean, you know, Bama's got to go all the way down the field and get the 2-point conversion. But boy, that was masterful play calling by Bama.
It's Heartbreak Hotel, man.
And then the fumble. I mean, because even when they got the ball back with the fumble, I was like, Carolina could, I think they're going to drive down and at least get a shot at a winning kick. And if not, let's go to OT, baby. And then they got the fumble, they got it back, and then everybody's devastated about the A&M game because Carolina was up 30-3. I don't think by the time 7 minutes was left in that A&M game, Carolina was either trailing or only up six. Bama, you're up.
I had to change a tire. I was done. I knew the ending.
Bama, you're up by more than a touchdown and an extra point with 7 minutes to go. And they were ranked, what, third, second at the time?
Right.
It was ranked pretty high. And it would have been revenge. But, yeah, I don't know. You know, it's a different Bama team this year. A lot of those guys have moved on that were on that team. I don't know who they replaced them with. I was talking to somebody the other day about Bama recruiting California more than they do Alabama. Here's a little advice for everyone out there that wants to coach in the SEC. You don't go to the West Coast and get what you can get 40 miles from your campus.
Right.
You just don't do it. It's okay to recruit guys from California, but don't make that be like your star power.
But right? You don't fly over ones that are closer.
Yeah.
Do that. Yeah.
Yes. Krager watched Clemson lose to Duke and Georgia Tech last night. It was glorious.
Watched both those games too.
Colin says, y'all were talking about the blame game last year. Just turned it on the first drive. We're 4-yard line, 3rd and 2, shotgun handoff to Faison. We were sabotaged. I had to turn it off, Colin said. Sabotaged. I don't know, man. I don't know what the 3rd and 4th and short play call menu look like.
It's a mystery.
Dude, I'll say, I hate to bring him up again. I'll say, Steve Spurrier, and what he would do is he may run it up. Spurrier ran it up the middle on 3rd and 4th and short. But you let that happen about 2 or 3 times next time, he's faking it. Just roll out and hit the tight end.
Just get right.
Of course, nobody.
2-yard drag. He's there.
Nobody covered the tight end, and it'd be still be running. So
well, let's get our Chris Farley on.
Absolutely. All right, for late night Gamecock show Sunday night, right, Matt?
Yes, sir. We'll be here.
Be sure to check out thebigspur.com all weekend for coverage. For the Mad Dog, Phil Mullinax, JC Sherbert, this has been Inside the Gamecocks, the show. I'll let you soon.